don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. Make them love you so much that they want to hire you, and make it your decision whether you want to work for them or not. And there's only one chance to make a first impression, and you got to do it right.
Do you want to be the absolute best candidate for a job you'll love in a career with balance? Veteran leadership career catalyst Jonathan Flax is teaming up with leading executive search professionals to provide you with cutting-edge career transition strategies. Welcome to Career Transition Experts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Flax.
I am so excited. A good friend of mine from my ACG days, Don Leon, is here with us. I'll say a few things about Don. He's a managing partner at Don Leon Search. Comprehensive understanding of media, technology, and analytics verticals from his 21 years in recruiting. He's had he's had scores of well-targeted and successful hires in his business, placing sales, marketing, and product executives within marketing tech, or MarTech as it's referred to, ad tech, and health tech. Don, welcome. Thanks for being my guest today on the Career Transition Experts. Please tell our listeners, what's one thing, if they listen to this episode, what are they going to get?
I think the one thing that every candidate should keep in mind when they're in front of clients and interviewing is to don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. In other words, sometimes candidates feel that they're in a subordinate position where they can't ask questions, but you're really looking to do an equal partnership. You need to find the right job, and the client needs to find the right candidate. So it's really important to ask tough, difficult questions. And most of those types of questions start with how and what. Like, how are you doing this? What are you doing for that? And when you get that answer from that question, don't just stop with the answer, but take that answer and get a deeper understanding from that answer and try to understand that much more.
Excellent. All right, so we'll talk a little more about how people can do that. I'll ask a tough question. How do they go about that? And we'll talk about the obstacles sometimes people have to overcome to do that. Before we go any further, is there anything you want to add to what I said about you? Like, what are some of the things that listeners should know about you so they can, you know they're talking to a credible, we're listening to a credible guy?
Well, I've been recruiting for 21 years, and it's interesting. It's changed a lot in 21 years. It used to be we'd find people from directories, and we would be able to call them up and leave messages on their office phones. And really, recruiting's changed a lot. I mean, there's no more directories to find people. LinkedIn's a big source, and people now have cell phones. You have to be creative in finding candidates for your clients, and you have to be creative in finding clients as well. So it's really much more of a, even though there's more resources and sources to find information, it's harder to sometimes get to people because people aren't really sitting in one place.
Yeah, that's really very true. Very true. All right. So say a little more about asking tough questions. It's a great theme. I think one of the most important things that people might benefit from is to understand what kind of questions they can ask and that they might typically not get around to. And then maybe we'll lead to how do they overcome what stops them from asking those kinds of questions.
Well, I think the only way, Jonathan, you can ask those tough questions is to really spending time researching a company and to really get inside, not just reading on the website, and not just reading the press releases that attach to the website, but really doing a Google search, talking to possibly previous employees who work there, getting an understanding of their, in the tech world, there's a source called Crunchbase, which can give you good information about funding in terms of how companies are funded. So when you ask those questions, it's really coming from a place of intelligence and knowledge and not just reading off a piece of paper. I think if you come with that understanding, you're going to come across as confident, you're going to come across as credible, and you're going to come across as thoughtful. And I always tell my candidates, make them love you so much that they want to hire you and make it your decision whether you want to work for them or not. But because if they don't love you, you are not going to be getting the offer. So you have to make them want to love you and do everything possible. And there's only one chance to make a first impression. You got to do it right.
Got it. So let's imagine a candidate hears your suggestion and starts doing that research, but doesn't quite have the clarity or confidence, or something is in the way. What usually you think is in the way for candidates to research for that point of view of coming up with good, tough questions?
Well, there really shouldn't be an excuse for not having good questions because the sources and information is all there for you. I think in this world where there's lots of candidates who are getting lots of offers, they tend to If they're not really excited about an opportunity, you can't really create that excitement. They have to feel it. And so I find with candidates, you know, you can present an opportunity and get them excited, but they have to want it, because if they don't want it, they're not going to do the research. And right. So to a certain extent, you have to take it away from them and let them know that if it's not something you don't want, and it's not something that's going to interest you and help you in your career and help you be better at what you want to do, then, you know, let's stop it now and you can stay LinkedIn friends.
Okay, yeah, that's useful. I think if people are listening to this and they recognize that if they want something, they're typically going to get motivated to do what it takes to get it. And so as you folks are listening and as you're looking at job postings and hearing about opportunities through your network and something's like, could be a fit, don't bother. But if something sounds exciting, then that motivation should draw you to do the deeper research, prepare the tough questions. What kind of questions are we talking about, though? What are some examples of questions?
Well, I think that's a great question. So if you break into all the questions in journalism, the how, what, where, when, and why questions, I've found through just talking with candidates and clients that the why, when, and the where questions tend to be more specific and tend to give answers that are very, like, one sentence and very short. If you ask how and what questions, you're going to get much more of a comprehensive answer from the person who's getting that question. And really, at the end of the day, you do want that person to be doing the talking, because the more talking they do, the smarter you become, and the less you're going to have a chance of screwing up because you're saying something wrong. So you want to get that person to talk. And by getting them to talk, you want to ask a lot of how and what questions. But don't stop with that how and what. When you hear a question, or an answer, rather, go back and take that answer and get deeper inside the person's head and really understand it and tell me more and give me another example. You know, so you really want to be like, how is this territory, you know, this is a sales job, how has this story been handled in the past? What have been some of the challenges this person has seen as they've gone throughout their job? How would I integrate with other people in the company? What's my typical day look like? How would my success be evaluated? So those are how and what questions that really get inside the hiring manager's head and really gives you deeper answers on what possibly could work for you as a candidate when being considered hired.
Well, you answered my follow-up question. I was going to follow your advice and ask, well, give us some more examples. I'll ask listeners to pause here, rewind, listen to that again. There's a lot of good questions that you've laid out, Don, as examples of how and what questions. But I think a simple one is, can you say a little more about that? Or what would the day in the life be like? And how are people doing that now? And how would you see it changing in the future? Those are some examples I can just extrapolate or repeat. Really, I'm really recognizing, Don, the great thoughts. What about maybe some boundary questions, some off limits? Like, what are some questions someone maybe, I sometimes ask my guests, what's the dumbest thing you've seen smart people do? What are some examples of questions that maybe shouldn't be asked either on an early interview or should be waited later or shouldn't be asked at all?
Well, there's, the whole legal questions about, gender preferences and sexual preferences. And right now there's many states, New York being one of them, and California, where you can't even ask people's salary. You have to just say what they need to see in their salary to keep themselves whole. So it's really important. This is a really good tip for hiring managers, because you can ask that question, but to get the real deep answer about what a candidate needs to see in their salary to keep themselves whole, because they can give themselves any answer. I mean, they could be, they could be 2 years out of school and say I need $500,000. And they can say that. They might not get it, but they can say that. But the important question to ask is to really understand how they came up with that answer. Like, in other words, okay, I'm looking to make X amount of thousands a year. Then you hear that, but then you say, how did you come up with that answer? It's amazing by asking that question, you'd be able to get that much more information from the candidate without really illegally asking questions. So we can't ask certain questions, but candidates obviously can't ask questions about sexuality and about marriage things, whether you're pregnant. So there's all those questions haven't changed. Those illegal questions haven't changed.
Those hiring manager questions you're referencing are typically taboo or illegal, but a candidate should be ready to answer the question, what are you looking for in your compensation or salary? And some of them might have been trained or may have learned to also ask, how did you come up with that? So a good candidate should be able to say, well, looking at the market and competitive rates and what the value of a position sounds like in my experience, something like that. That's the number I've come up with, but I'm flexible.
I was going to say something about that. I mean, usually when you ask that second part of the question, Jonathan, it's amazing how it will come up, and I'll actually tell you the reason I came up with that is because I'm currently making XYZ. And that's right. What you really want, but you're not asking them. They're actually volunteering the information, but you're not asking them. Just asking is illegal, but they tell you it's legal.
That's a very good tip for hiring managers and just useful for anyone to understand. What are some other, are there any thoughts or questions about what candidates ought not ask or anything else? Yeah, we've already talked about a lot of examples of what they should ask. What should they not ask?
No, that's a great question. I think what I find is sometimes people get into the tactical, and I think what everyone's looking for, and this is kind of a cliche, but they're looking for strategic, whether it's marketing people, salespeople, product people. They're looking for that strategic person. So candidates really have to avoid the tactical questions, like what my territory looks like, or how big the marketing budget is, or what, you know, who's the product, head of product. You really want to ask much more of the strategic questions. So get away from tactical questions. I guess that's the point. Stay away from tactical and really focus on the strategic. And when I say strategic, I think if you think of asking the question yourself and answering it, you're going to want to say to yourself, is this a question that's going to give me more than just a two-line answer?
Got it. And I would suggest, Don, maybe you would contradict, that maybe peppering a conversation with some of those tactical questions, but leaning more towards, so maybe 2 out of 7 are tactical, but the rest are strategic. What is the culture? What is the how would you describe the way that we'll work together in this territory? The broader how and what is the questions that you're suggesting. That makes perfect sense. Anything else you want to add from what we've talked about so far?
No. So far, so good.
Yeah. I'm just trying to walk the talk, but I've been doing this now as a podcast host for a while. I'm happy to hear. Maybe I'm asking the right kinds of questions. You've acknowledged them. Thank you. So the last question I have for you now that's specifically related to this process is, what are some questions that a candidate can ask a recruiter? What do you like to hear when, as a recruiter, when you're working on an initiative for a company, and you're going through all the various candidates you might present to a company? What are some good questions and good ways a candidate can get your interest and ask you thoughtful questions when you are?
No, that's a great question, John. I think it's really important for the candidate, again, to think, be tough with the recruiter. I mean, don't think you can't ask tough questions to recruiters too, because frankly, we respect the tough questions because we want to see that you're more than just like a piece of paper and then you have a mind of your own. So some of the questions I appreciate are along the lines of, how long have you been working with this client? Have you placed other people with this client? What are the reasons? Have they seen any other candidates? And if they have seen candidates, what are the reasons those candidates have not been passed through or been successful or have, you know, been considered? Really understand. So really going in and really take advantage of the recruiter, because the recruiter has a relationship that is really great for a candidate, the fact that the person does not necessarily work for the company, but they're able to offer lots of insight. So, but you have to find a recruiter who really has credibility. So you want to ask the questions to establish whether they really understand the company, and you really understand if they're working with other recruiters, if it's a retained position, if it's contingency, because that's going to create a different kind of scenario, and it's certainly going to change a certain way of how you're being treated as a candidate sometimes. So I think it's really important to ask the recruiter lots of tough questions as well. I think I give some good examples.
That's really great. You know, those first two questions, I would think perhaps a recruiter find nosy. But if a candidate frames it as, I really want to understand how we're going to work together on presenting me so that we both look good. So could I ask you a couple of questions about your experience with this company and how many other candidates? And that key one I like very much, where you're encouraging candidates to ask the recruiter, to practice asking recruiters and hiring managers tough questions, including when you sent other candidates that did not get the role, what are some of the reasons they did not get hired? A recruiter will definitely respect that you're drilling in, you're asking those tough questions for deeper understanding. Really makes a lot of sense, Don. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, that's great. No, just don't be afraid, because sometimes people feel like they can't ask these questions. The worst that happens is I mean, I don't think there's too many worse things that happen. I mean, maybe the recruiter just thinks you're naturally curious, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, you should be naturally curious.
Listen, some will, some won't, so what? Really fascinating, Don. And thank you so much. I want one more question for you. Personally, I like to ask my guests your favorite music, and being a musician myself, what's your favorite rock band or musical artist or composer?
Let's see. My favorite rock band of all time is probably the Talking Heads. My favorite composer is probably George Gershwin, and my favorite musicians and artists are Bruce Springsteen and Frank Sinatra.
Wow, fantastic collection. I used to say, if the party ain't happening, put on some Talking Heads, and the party will be happening. Don, thank you so much for your insights. Really, really great being with you again. And I remind people, don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. And if you find that you are afraid, listen back to this message that you'll be respected for asking the tough questions. And if you need practice or guidance from a coach like me or someone in your network to practice with, usually a little practice can help build comfort and confidence. Okay, that's all for now. Thanks, Don. See you soon.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much for listening to the Career Transition Experts. We hope you got something of value and would love to hear from you on what you did learn and how this episode made a difference. If you'd like to contact or reach our guests, take a look at the show notes. And you can also find there a link where we will send you a free copy of our resume preparation checklist. If there's anything we can do to help you fulfill your vision and make that transition smoothly, contact us. We are here for you. Thanks again for listening. Hope to see you again soon. Bye for now.